Speaking of confidence in federal officials, our congressman, Congressman Andre Carson, is on our live line. Congressman, welcome.
Dr. Brown, thank you for having us.
And we just, we're hearing from the Washington Post at WashingtonPost.com some information now coming out about the federal, not the federal, about the St. Louis County's autopsy, which confirms six shots from the front, no indication of whether there were powder burns on Mr. Brown or on his clothing. They're also saying that marijuana was in his system, and that's all that they're saying right now. The medical examiner of St. Louis County is quoted in the Washington Post as saying she has confidence in Dr. Baden. She also has confidence in our armed forces, medical examiners. Is that your understanding, that the federal autopsy will be done by military personnel?
Well, I think given the fact that the Ferguson Police Department has proven itself to be unreliable with their disinformation and campaign, and it's clear that they're trying to smear this young man, it gives me greater confidence that we're going to have the federal component do an investigation so we have a separation. I've yet to hear the transaction between the officer and dispatch. I would love to see cell phone footage from the other eyewitness who was there, who took pictures. And it's just really concerning to me, Dr. Brown, as someone like yourself who witnessed the civil rights movement from firsthand experience. It is true that this generation, my generation, is a bit disconnected. But I think what's happening in Ferguson speaks to the undercurrent of animosity, the undercurrent of disillusionment that we're seeing with the African American community and law enforcement.
Is this also? It seems that unlike other big cities where their police department has some kind of connection with people in the African American community, it seems like this police department had no one in the black community of Ferguson where they could go to and say, "Help us out." It's like this police department was on their own.
Well, I think in many ways, I mean, you had a city that was two-thirds African-American and only three of the officers were black, but it was clear that even given the numbers of the African-American community, there were degrees of political apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had those numbers mobilized in a strong and effective way, we could have seen a different outcome, had more city councilors been represented, had they put an African-American mayor in office, had they been more involved with school board races and really get out the vote efforts, I think we would have seen a different outcome. There would have been a deeper and different level of accountability. But that's Monday morning quarterback in a sense. But I think going forward, now that people are awake, it is time to mobilize in a peaceful and positive and more influential way and vote those folks out of office who misrepresent their interests. I'm comforted in the fact that Attorney General Holder is calling for an additional autopsy and investigation, but I'm still disheartened at the arrogance that I have seen from this police department, at the imagery of a militaristic force that clearly has resorted into 1960 tactics, or even tactics that are reminiscent of being in a communist country.
We're talking with Congressman Andre Carson this afternoon with Amos on AM 1310, The Light, WTLC, AM Indianapolis. Would you talk to your colleague that represents that area of St. Louis County and Missouri that includes Ferguson? What is he or she telling you?
Well, Congressman Clay, who's a very close friend of mine, he's been working with Attorney General Holder. He's been in constant communication with the White House. I think as a Congressional Black Caucus and just members of Congress, we have shown deference and we've not, you know, save the exception of the legendary John Lewis and others, we have wanted to let Lacey Clay handle matters in his district. It's almost a congressional courtesy to do so. But at the same time, I'm a voice speaking out very boldly as someone who not only comes from law enforcement, but someone who was who has been profiled, who was arrested because of not only racial profiling but religious profiling when I was 17 as a juvenile. Even though I wasn't charged, I was released. I'm still sensitive to the law enforcement dynamic. You have folks who are sworn to protect and serve, but then you have police officers who hold deep levels of animus and animosity toward African American, particularly African American men, and the resentment that they carry once they have a badge and a gun is even more manifest in a situation where they're afraid. You know, there have been critics of the community policing model. There are probably over 10 different, at least major policing models, but I still have always been a proponent of the community policing model. Mm-hmm. Had the community policing model been implemented, I think we would have seen a different outcome.
The militarization, the use of our surplus military equipment going to our police department sold, and I'm sure are deep discounted prices. Rupert Murdoch, of all persons, sent out a tweet over the weekend asking, was Congress going to discuss this when y'all go back to work after Labor Day? Now, you know, when Rupert Murdoch says, is Congress going to discuss something, that gets to be serious. Is this something that the Congress is going to discuss?
Oh, absolutely, without question. I think Senator Levin has already mentioned it. I sit on the Armed Services Committee. I've met with the FOP. I've met with numerous law enforcement agencies who come to me quite often about getting more funding for equipment. We help get Metro Police Department hundreds of laptops to increase emergency response times. And in a time where Congress is implementing austerity measures and cutting back on our spending, the police departments are trying hard to find other avenues where they can get equipment and resources. And I've been supportive of those efforts in the past, Dr. Brown, when we talk about infrared technology to apprehend suspects who are affiliated with drug cartels and having the proper equipment and proper armor to protect themselves, because these things are quite expensive. But when these purchases get excessive, or at least I think that there should be levels of accountability that come with getting this equipment. So we should have officers who are trained correctly in using these technologies. We should have officers who are trained and can make the distinction between which circumstances are appropriate to use these items. And then there are police departments who probably shouldn't even meet the requirement. I mean, if you're looking at a Ferguson, Missouri, that isn't a major urban center, why should they have a tank? Why should any police department have a tank? That's another discussion. But I do think that there are exigent circumstances, given the fact that there are growing movement in this country of racial supremacist groups who have stated explicitly that they want to form militias to take back the country. I think then there is cause for concern in local municipalities where we have to fight back, and there are growing drug cartels. I think then we could argue the question of getting equipment from the military. But when it is in this situation where we're seeing a communist-style regime push back on citizens who are peacefully protesting, I certainly back up their First Amendment rights, and I refuse as a representative of the U.S. Congress to allow law enforcement to get away with this kind of blatant disregard for citizens.
Is this also a lack of a small police department understanding the power of social media? And the reason I bring this up, Congressman, you know, our the folks here at IMPD are always talking about how they monitor social media here, Facebook and Twitter, trying to find out things that are going on. And it seems like St. Louis County and the Ferguson police were not monitoring social media to see what was going on. So if there was misinformation out there, they weren't moving quickly enough to get the facts out. And all of a sudden on social media, there's a whole lot of stuff, and people are responding to that, particularly young folks.
Yeah, I think perhaps you're right. I think they underestimated the power of social media. I think even more so when they attempted to release the tape of what allegedly is Michael Brown taking items from a store in an attempt to discredit and smear his reputation, and it's known that the two had no connection. I think that they thought that the media would be on their side, which was manifested in the fact that you had an Al Jazeera reporter injured and taken into custody. and yet other reporters who have been harmed. I think they misunderstood social media, and I think they misunderstood the African-American community and the larger American community when it relates to governmental abuses of power. We've seen the outrage over the past year or two with revelations of the NSA spying on U.S. citizens, and I think in a local context, we're seeing that same kind of outrage when we see government, be it federal or local, overstep its bounds and really imposes on our civil liberties and civil rights.
And we're looking at this, and I'm getting reports. NBC's Brian Wilson is going to be reporting the national news, the NBC Nightly News from Ferguson. That implies that some of the other national networks will be there as well. This is a worldwide story. What I'm also not seeing, and I saw a tweet from Pastor Harrison of Ten Point, it seems like there's a lack of trusted adults in Ferguson who are able to go out in that community and try to work with young people and young adults to try to calm them down.
Yeah, I think that there are efforts on the ground. We're not getting the reports. I mean, Congressman Clay and others have indicated that there are numerous organizations. You have the Alphas out who are helping. There are local churches and mosques who are doing the people's work in terms of protecting store owners and protecting some of the shops in the community and really doing a phenomenal job at cleaning up after the rioting. Mm-hmm. But to President Obama's point, we cannot justify this small sliver who uses this situation as an occasion to vandalize properties and to steal from homes and businesses. What I would like to see, though, is for us as a community to come together beyond the rallies and beyond the marches and really mobilize in a political way and put people in office in St. Louis, with the exception of the great Congressman Clay, but put people in office in local positions that can make an impact and could get those numbers up. When we have two-thirds of the city's population African-American, but only three of the officers are black, that to me is unacceptable, and it tells me that there has been for decades a comfort that the police department has had in dealing with the African-American community and only making symbolic attempts, futile at best, to have only three officers with very few promotional opportunities. So I think it's time for them to be unhoused and unsettled in a way, but in a peaceful way, but certainly in a way that changes the trajectory of that small community.
And Congressman, we're just getting word. The Washington Post has now posted a story as of 2:03 that there will be no curfew in Ferguson tonight. This is from Governor Jay Nixon. And that also, according to the Washington Post, that the Missouri National Guard will be under the command of the Missouri State Highway Patrol.
Mm.
Now, that's interesting.
That is interesting because, you know, many people feared that the National Guard would have been federalized and having the president make the call, as was done in, I think it was 63 with Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the governor knows that he has a balancing act to play. He has to assuage the fears and anxieties of the greater community while still speaking to the African-American community who has felt neglected for decades, obviously, and who feel like the police department has not only crossed bounds repeatedly, but this is the final death blow in terms of their relationship with the community.
All right, Congressman Andre Carson, again, getting his take on the situation in Ferguson, and then also the breaking news that the curfew for tonight, there was a midnight to 5 o'clock curfew, I believe, in Ferguson, Missouri, has been lifted, and the National Guard is being deployed, but they're going to be deployed under the command of the State Highway Patrol of Missouri, which I believe is like our Indiana. Is that like our Indiana State Police, or is that a different agency? They got Missouri State Police and Missouri Highway Patrol?
I think in different states they call it patrol, and in other parts they call it state police.
All right, but the state, it's all the governor, because the state police is under the control of the governor. A National Guard is under the control of the governor of the sovereign state, so it's still under the governor.
Still under the governor. You know, highway is called the California Highway Patrol, but we call them state police.
We call them state police. And, yeah. And here we know it's the great Indiana State Police. Congressman Andre Carson, always good to talk to you. Thanks
Thank
very,
you
very much.